Support for the Exchange Podcast from NHPR comes from you, our listeners,
and from the New Hampshire Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Food. New Hampshire's farms and farmers markets are full of fresh goods, rich with agricultural heritage, and available all year long. You can locate pick-your-own farms, farmers markets, fairs, and more near you using the directories at visitnh.gov/agriculture.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. New Hampshire lawmakers make just $100 a year, and so it's often said that only retirees or wealthy people can afford to serve. But our guests today demonstrate that stereotype is not completely correct. We're talking with four brand new members of the New Hampshire House, part of a younger, more diverse class of freshmen brought in by the 2018 elections. This hour on The Exchange, we ask what motivated them to run and how they hope to balance their statehouse commitments with other obligations, including work and family. And as always, let's hear from you. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Our guests are Lisa Bunker, a Democrat from Exeter. She's one of two openly transgender lawmakers elected to the Statehouse this year. Lisa is an author and a former program director for a community radio station in Maine. And Representative Bunker, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Laura.
And congratulations on your win, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Also with us, Dennis Acton, Republican from Fremont. He's an Army veteran. He's a high-tech developer. He spent some time in Haiti helping amputees and others disabled by the 2010 earthquake. And Representative Acton, good to meet you, too. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on, Laura. Thank you.
And also with us, Jackie Chrétien. She's a Democrat from Manchester. She has a PhD in biology from UC Berkeley. She works full-time from home in science publishing, where she also takes care of her three young children. And Representative Chrétien, thank you also for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And also with us, Joe Alexander, Republican from Goffstown. He's a student at the Carsey School for Public Policy at UNH. He is the youngest Republican legislator and the only openly gay Republican serving at the Statehouse. And Representative Alexander, congrats to you. Congrats to everyone. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Laura. Happy to be here.
Well, all of you, but I'll start with you, Representative Bunker. Why did you decide to run for office this year?
It was a combination of things. I've always felt called to public service, and I actually expressed that for many years by working in public broadcasting and community broadcasting. I was unhappy with the results of the 2016 election. I disagree with the politics and policy of the person we have for president now, and especially with the tone that he has set in Washington, and I felt called to step up and do something about that. I had recently achieved success in the field I've wanted to achieve success in since I was 5 years old, which is writing, and I had more sort of stability and freedom and resources in my own life than I had had for a long time, and so I felt called to step up as much as I could. I had also had experience as an activist coming up to Concord to testify before committees and so on, and I got to see that the people around the table in the committee room were just regular humans like me, and it occurred to me I could do this, and so I felt compelled to step forward.
How about you, Representative Acton? What prompted you to make this first time run?
Well, I've always wanted to get involved in politics. I've been an activist for many years on various issues, and I have testified before up at the Statehouse. But I wanted to actually serve, but the town that I lived in had a longstanding and very popular Republican named Dan Itza, and he ran for he was our state rep for 18 years. Just this last session, he decided to move, and he stepped down, and the opportunity presented itself, and I ran. It was interesting that I ran unopposed as well, so that was a difference in how I ran. And basically, how I see that is that I'm not here to enact a personal agenda. I'm here to represent the people of my town and try to solve problems and make things work for working families and try to reduce the tax burden and allow families to be able to live the best lives that they can and handle the tax load and the realities of life today.
So it's interesting. You and Representative Bunker both had some experience testifying at the Statehouse, seeing how things worked, and maybe it didn't look so intimidating once you spent a little time there.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was quite an experience going through orientation last week. It was a very I was honored to be part of it, to be part of the history of that building and to learn and to meet all the new freshman representatives. And like I said before, the partisan hammer drops, we were all able to make friends and build alliances and so forth. And we'll see how it goes next week. But it was really interesting to be part of that and get oriented into the State House service.
Okay, so that's something to pick up on later this hour before the partisan hammer drops. But how about you, Representative Chrétien? You've got a pretty full plate. You're working full time. You've got three young children. What inspired you to jump in?
I felt that I could really actually be a representative who is representative. As you mentioned before, we've had kind of the oldest state house. I think 66 was the average age, and I felt like I could bring a sort of different lived experience as a mom, you know, someone who we finally just graduated from paying for two twins in daycare, but I've had that, you know, paying off student loans and paying for daycare and just kind of understanding the pressures that young people are under. I think there's something to that.
Well, the people around this table will probably lower the average age.
Yes,
just the four of you by yourselves. So you finally had the opportunity to kind of a little more space in your life.
A little more. My mom actually just retired as well, and she lives in Manchester. So I thought, oh, maybe that, you know, will help a little bit with childcare and the kids being in school as opposed to daycare. But yeah, you know, it certainly is another thing on the plate, for sure, a bit of a sacrifice. But.
Well, Representative Alexander, I can guess what motivated you to jump in, because you are a student at the Carsey School for Public Policy, a master's student or a PhD student, so probably really working on those issues as part of your education.
Yeah, Laura, so I'm actually getting my experience firsthand being in the House, but I'm getting my master's right now in public policy at the Carsey School. My interest in politics came from when my mom brought me into the voting booth in 2008, and she kind of showed me the process of like how to vote and registering and all that stuff. And I was just interested, and ever since I've gotten kind of a tick to get involved. So in college at St. Anselm College, I had an internship at the House Majority Office. So I actually got to see firsthand, be on the House floor as an intern. So that just got me hooked on wanting to be a member of the House. So that's why I decided to run.
What is it that hooks you? What is it that makes it so enticing for you? Because other people listening might go, oh, politics, I can't stand it. Keep me away.
Well, I look at the House specifically as a double-edged sword, because it's amazing how we have this unique New Hampshire experiment of 400 state representatives. And the quote is, you know, anybody could be in rep. But in all reality, when you don't pay to be a rep, it becomes a volunteer legislature. So as a young person, I mean, I have a job, I have a mortgage, I have to pay bills. So I look at the House, and why I decided to run was because I have the ability right now with my schedule to make it happen. So I think it's important that young people do the same if they can.
I want to remind our listeners that you can join us, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Today we're sitting down with four first-time state lawmakers, finding out about what motivated them to run, to make that leap. We're not so much debating the issues today. We'll have plenty of time for that when the legislature settles in. Instead, we're getting the freshman perspective on what inspired them to get involved, to run, and how they hope to juggle being a lawmaker with other obligations, such as work, school, and family. What questions do you have for our freshman lawmakers? What advice do you have for them? Again, you can give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. What are all of you, and I'll start with you, I think, Representative Acton, what are some of the biggest issues people in your district care about as you were running? What did you hear from constituents? And again, we should just remind people you're from Fremont.
Okay, well, the overarching concern that I heard from voters and knocking on doors and campaigning and so forth is the tax level. What I found is that the tax burden on families is approaching as high as it can get without really doing damage. People are worried about making their property tax payments, their mortgage. In essence, people go through a poverty cycle every month where you pay the mortgage, and then you realize, hey, we have $50 to make it till the next paycheck. That there's more and more families living like that, paycheck to paycheck. And so we have to be very aware of that as we go into the session, where there's a lot of priorities, a lot of things we want to try to do. But we have to remember that this money that we're spending is coming directly out of working families' paychecks. And that's something that I'm going to focus on very strongly during this session.
Keeping an eye on the taxpayer. How would you describe, by the way, your constituents and your district, Representative Acton? Some people might not know, you know, where Fremont is and what the demographics of it are.
Okay, well, Fremont is about halfway down 101 between Manchester and Hampton. So it's in that central Rockingham County area. And it's a very conservative town, but it has been changing as the Seacoast has changed to become more Democratic and so forth. So there's a mix. But we actually had somewhat of a red wave in this last election in the central Rockingham area, where the Republicans won rather handily in that area. But it was very much different, certainly in Exeter and out on the Seacoast and in Manchester. But it is a very conservative area out there, and that's something that we all have to keep in mind from who represent voters.
Well, that's interesting. And how about you, Representative Chrétien? What were some of the biggest issues that you heard about as you were out talking to voters?
I certainly heard a lot about education, a lot about actually climate and environment, kind of making sure that we preserve that for our kids. A lot of, I guess, just worries about the long-term future of the state, making sure that we are prioritizing things that will pay off in the long term and not just doing short-term cheapest fixes possible.
And you're in Manchester, just to remind people, from wards 1, 2, and 3. So for people not from that area, how would you describe it?
Sure. It's like the north end of Manchester as well as some of the downtown. It's got an interesting shape. So ward 3 is the sort of more downtown Elm Street commercial-ish area. And then wards 1 and 2 are more family, homes and things like that.
Yeah, and I know education is a big issue in Manchester.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Representative Bunker, how about you? What did you hear from people when you were out campaigning?
I asked a very open-ended question. I just said, when I got somebody live on the doorstep, I said, what's on your mind as a voter this season? And I heard a lot of different answers. Tax burden was certainly one of them. Also, education. Healthcare, a lot of people concerned about being able to afford their healthcare. And I met several people who worked for the state of New Hampshire in one capacity or another, and whatever department they happened to be in, they would tell me that their department feels chronically underfunded to them. So that sort of personal working perspective from somebody saying, yes, I help care for people who are mentally ill in the state of New Hampshire, and we just have never had enough money to properly do our work.
So a lot of people who work in social services and state government and concerned about that.
Yeah, I talked to a guy from the highway department, just whatever department they were in, they had that first-person perspective on state funding.
And if you were to describe your place and your constituents, how would you describe Exeter, Rockingham District 18?
Well, it's a town, I mean, with that charming, curvy street
through
downtown.
It is very charming,
yes. But I did a lot of canvassing. I started in the summer, and I tried to cover every single neighborhood. And it's a mix. I mean, there's downtown Exeter, but also there's more sort of suburban rural streets out there with older homes, and there's little condo enclaves here and there. And we have three different manufactured housing communities. So it's a real mix.
So you go through downtown Exeter, and you think, oh, this is so lovely, and it looks so wealthy. But you're saying there's another side to it.
Well, I'm not concentrating on wealth necessarily in that assessment. It's just a lot of different varieties of neighborhoods from urban to rural.
How about you, Representative Alexander? What did you hear from people as you went out trying to find votes?
Well, so knocking doors gives us a unique experience because we really get to approach the voter. And I feel like they're more open to having a conversation when the candidate is right at the door wanting to talk to them about the issues. So what I found was there were a lot of seniors worried about property taxes, some fixed incomes. So also as a member of the Goffstown Budget Committee, I have a say on the town committee, but also in the state, making sure that we keep taxes low. So that's a huge issue. Additionally, Goffstown has some of the best schools and, in my experience, the best sports teams. So we have to make sure that we encourage funding for education as well.
That's interesting. So education and property taxes, as Representative Acton mentioned. And just briefly, if people listening elsewhere in the state don't know Goffstown, how would you describe your district or your constituents?
So Goffstown's about 19,000 people. It's west of Manchester in the suburbs. So we have like part of the west side of Manchester, but also a downtown community.
Oh, you have parts of Manchester in your district?
No, I don't. So I'm on the edge of the west side of Manchester. So a lot of the district is very close to Manchester. And we also have a cute little downtown. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I have.
So it's very cute. And we have a lot of seniors, but the age is pretty high. I think the median age is around 50 in Goffstown. And then we also have a lot of families that are moving into the town as well.
Again, the number for you to join us here in the exchange with your questions, comments, and maybe a piece of advice for our freshman lawmakers is 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And if there are issues you want to put before these new lawmakers, again, we'd love to hear from you. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Representative Manny Esposito sent us a tweet. He says, I ran to represent people like my family and me, the son of two working class parents who worked every day to make a better life for their kids. Representative Esposito is a freshman representative as well in Nashua's Ward 4. So thank you for that. Again, you can contact us at 1-800-892-6477 or send us a tweet, Facebook comment. It's NHPR Exchange. Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. One of you earlier mentioned attending orientation earlier this month. I think it was you, Representative Acton. What surprised you at orientation? I'll start with you, Representative Acton, but I want to hear from everyone.
I was surprised at how much of an operation there is in the background. I never realized the amount of work that goes in and the staff, the legislative services who help us write the service requests we put in, create bills, the amount of logistics and so forth. I had no idea any of that really existed. So that was probably the biggest eye-opener of what a talented and well-run operation it is in the background at the State House.
Yeah, and with 400 members of the House, 24 of the Senate, you kind of need those people to help keep the machines running. How about you, Representative Kraytan? What surprised you on Orientation Day?
I would say very similarly. Honestly, coming in, I wasn't sure how I was going to learn how to draft bills. So learning that there was actually staff there who would really help with the research and help with the wording was wonderful. And also just the number of new people of both parties, really. There were, I think, almost 100 or more than 100 of us. So
That's a big freshman class.
Was sort of a surprise. And then just how quickly it all went. I sort of thought after the election would have a little breather, but then it was definitely,
surprise.
Jump right in. You got to file bills by December 3rd. The fast pace was, exciting, I guess, but a bit of a surprise.
How about you, Representative Alexander? What was it like at Orientation Day for you?
So I actually wasn't able to go to part of it just because I had classes at that time. So my class schedule next semester is much more flexible and open to being a legislator. But I missed Tuesday and Wednesday of orientation, so I was only able to go for that Thursday morning. It was quick. It was a quick mock house session, but it was very interesting to see all that happen. So I really only got to be there for part of that orientation, and then we jumped right into our caucus.
Well, and your dilemma spells out something we're going to talk about after the break, which is how you balance being a lawmaker with being in school, being a mom, working full time and so forth, because that's been a challenge in the New Hampshire legislature, as you all know, given that people are only paid $100 a year. You're basically volunteers. So we'll talk about that after a break. And I also want to hear your Orientation Day stories as well, Representative Bunker. So that's all coming up. And we'll keep taking your questions and comments. You can give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter. That's NHPR Exchange. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Rachel Martin for Morning Edition. We're at a point in the year when we set our sights to the future. while reflecting on yet another year gone by.
To rescue 12 boys and their soccer coach from a flooded cave has succeeded.
SpaceX successfully launched what is now the most powerful
photo of the students who all moved here within the last year from countries in Africa, the Middle East, and
support the reporting that keeps you connected all year long with your year-end tax-deductible donation today. Go to nhpr.org, and thanks.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, we're talking with four new state representatives about what motivated them to jump in and run this year and what they hope to accomplish at the State House. We're not so much debating the issues today that they hope to work on. We'll have plenty of time to talk to them about that once the legislature settles in. Instead, we're just hearing their freshman perspective, what it was like to be at the State House for the first time, what inspired them to get into political work here in New Hampshire. And we'd love your questions and comments, too. Do you have any advice for these four freshman lawmakers? Any issues you want to put on their agenda? 1-800-892-6477 is the number. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can always respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And Representative Bunker, just before the break, the others were talking about what it was like to be at that orientation day. You know, it's a big day, lots of people, learning the ropes. What was that like for you?
I loved it. It was fascinating. I want to build off what Representative Acton, what Dennis Acton said about the staff there. They just seem really into their work. I was so impressed. I mean, beyond being obviously incredibly competent, there's a kind of sense of geeky glee going on there that I absolutely loved. Our clerk is the incoming president of the National Association of Legislative Clerks, and he's just really into legislative procedure. I had a conversation with the head of the Office of Legislative Services, and he's a history geek, and he was just sort of like, you know, just sort of enthusing about the history of the building that we're in. And I also love that there's a deep thread of courtesy just built into how the House is run, the protocol of the place. And in the chamber, it's built in that we are polite and courteous to each other. And I mean, there's even, it's against the House rules to walk in front of the podiums when somebody is speaking. And if you do that, you're required by the rules of the House to approach one of the mics at the end of the session and apologize. And it's not that I feel that people need to be ordered to be polite in that chamber in order to do so, but I love that it's so deeply a part of how the place is run, an idea of courtesy, civility, respect.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because, again, reading up in preparation for today's show, a lot of freshmen, this group and others, said part of the reason they ran was they hoped to improve civil discourse in this country. I wonder what you think about that, Representative Alexander.
Well, so I actually really appreciate what Representative Bunker said about, you know, that deep thread of courtesy, because it doesn't matter what your partisan, you know, leanings are. You could be, you know, far right, far left. But the fact of the matter is that we're all human and we all, like, represent our constituents and we're all proud to represent them. So just having that courtesy, I think, goes a long way. And I think, like, the House rules as they are kind of set that up to set a good precedence for, that courtesy.
Yeah. What do you think, Representative Acton?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a time where there's a lot of angst nationally, and that tends to boil down and trickle down onto what we're trying to do here. And as new representatives, we come in with somewhat of an idealism about wanting to get away from that. And that's kind of, you know, that's what I think we're all looking forward to is try to get beyond the partisan divide and try to get some real results done. That's a high priority, I think, for all of us.
Well, lots of people who want to talk to you all. So let's go back to our listeners. And Tana is calling from Concord. Hi, Tana. You're on the air. Welcome. Tana, go ahead.
Hi,
you're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Good morning. This is Tana Clues from the New Hampshire Women's Foundation. We last year launched Women Run, which is the state's only nonpartisan training program for women interested in running for local and state office. And we've seen a huge increase in the number of women who decided to run this year. And I'm particularly interested to hear from your female representative about why she decided to run. And I'm happy to speak about what we've heard of and why women have chose to run this year.
All right. Well, Tana, thank you for calling in. And what do you think, Representative Chrétien?
Yeah, I think we saw or have been seeing just, again, the importance of representation, of having women represented and actually, you know, here speaking for our priorities, having parents, but women, moms especially, running. And so, yeah, that was important to me just to get that balanced perspective on the floor, I think.
Why do you think more women don't run?
I think there is still a little bit of that stigma of, especially moms, you know, taking on too much, like, oh, you're going to, what do your kids think of you running? You know, that's not a question that dads get as much, I don't think. But yeah, that sort of things that you have to deal with as a woman in many professional environments we've seen with Me Too. I think, you know, women drop out of a lot of places because they just don't want to deal with it or don't feel comfortable, don't feel welcome. So hopefully as we get the balance closer to 50-50, that will happen less and less. But
and just the logistics of it with kids and so forth. You have
three
young children.
As well.
There was
a
story, right, about you were at orientation day and uh-huh. one of your children called you and said, Mom, I can't find my sneakers.
Yeah, exactly. I got a phone call from the office at the elementary school at Smith Road saying, James didn't bring his sneakers and he's only got his boots. For the record, his shoes actually were in his backpack the whole time. But yeah.
You had it covered.
Yeah. I was on it. But yeah, just those sorts of things. And I think the default still is to go to mom as opposed to dad, the assumption.
All right.
Is
well, Tana, thank you so much for calling in. Judith's calling from Durham. Hi, Judith. You're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. This is a wonderful opportunity to talk to the freshmen coming in. I have been in the legislature for 20 years, and I think the whole country is really fed up with politics because it is so polarized. These people represent one quarter of the legislature now, and they have the opportunity to turn this around. They mentioned how delighted they were during the orientation that people hadn't yet gone to their corners. If we are going to be able to do anything in this state, we have to have people who are willing to break the power of the caucuses and start thinking for themselves independently to work across the aisle. I think that this is particularly incumbent upon the majority, the Democrats, who need to, in particular, reach across the aisle to work with Republicans. But it is also incumbent upon the Republicans to think constructively about problems and look for opportunities to work with the Democrats to solve those problems.
And Judith, you're speaking as a Democrat, right? You're a longtime Democratic lawmaker.
Well, the Republicans and the Democrats both have the responsibility to solve problems, not just to advance the interests of their caucus.
Okay. Judith, thank you for calling. And I'm going to turn to you, Representative Acton, first, because you said, talking about orientation, it was really nice to meet other people before the, quote, partisan hammer drops. So what do you think about Judith's comments?
Well, she's exactly true. We have an opportunity here to break out of the mold and try to create some legislation that represents all of us, some bipartisan legislation. So hopefully we can do that. There is a lot of pressure from outside groups coming in and lobbyists and so forth that we're going to have to just learn how to deal with that and how to maintain our priorities.
Right. Outside groups who spend big money
yes.
to get you to, you know, run campaigns against you if you don't vote a certain way.
Exactly. That's already started to happen. There's a lot of phone calls and a ton of mail coming in and so forth. I hope to be able to take all the information in and assess it and then be able to reach out in a bipartisan way as much as I can as a freshman. But yes, I will try to uphold what Judith had mentioned in her call.
Yeah, I really appreciate that thought, Judith. Thank you so much. Representative Alexander, go ahead.
Well, just to kind of piggyback off that answer, I think the vote for Secretary of State was really important because it really was a bipartisan vote. When we had a bipartisan majority of people say, you know what, we're going to protect the primary, we're going to like keep Bill Gardner in there as Secretary of State, I think that was a really important first step in the process of kind of, you know, mending fences, building bridges.
That was a close vote.
It was close.
And I was going to ask some of you what that was like. Usually it's just sort of pro forma. Yes, Bill Gardner, check. Next item on the agenda, please. But Representative Bunker, what was that like for you to be involved in that, you know, pretty unusual vote?
Oh, it was exciting. It was for a first day thing, you know, for our organization day. There's a part of me that's like writer brain is just interested in the political theater and the personalities involved. And from that point of view, it was amazing to watch and to participate in. I agree that there's a lot of ways that bipartisanship has historically happened in the House. Last session, a Republican majority House passed a bill that I was involved in trying to get passed, which was protections for trans people in the matter of public accommodation at the state level. And that had been around a couple of times and had been tabled or defeated previously. But it passed last session, and that was in a Republican-controlled House. And I'm not saying that all Republicans are anti-trans or all Democrats are pro-trans, but there are trends in that. And a really thoughtful bill was brought forward and shepherded forward, and people worked together and found common ground and listened to each other, which I think is so important. This also mirrors what I experienced campaigning. I did a lot of canvassing. And when I was having conversations in that sacred space of people's thresholds, I discovered that people were way more nuanced, thoughtful, open to different points of view than you might assume if you only ever paid attention to Facebook and Twitter. I don't think real life parallels social media life.
That's really interesting to hear, that when you actually sit down and talk to people, no matter what their political persuasion, they're open to a variety of ideas, but you don't get that that impression by looking at social media.
Yeah, it's toxic out there. If you try to understand life from Twitter, you're going to have a very dark view of the world.
Wow, very interesting. And Judith, thank you for putting that point on the table. Again, the number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Barbara sent us a note from Goffstown. She says, I moved here from New York in 1981 and remember even then being surprised at how non-representative the legislature was. Wealthy people, retired people, or independent business people who could control their schedules. Barbara says, I'm happy to see small changes happening and the diversity of our incoming freshman reps, but this remains a position that only certain people can run for. Barbara says, has there ever been a recommendation for a paid legislature? And or is this something the new legislature will consider? She says, I would like to see changes so that truly everyone could have the opportunity to run. Barbara, thank you so much. This is a perennial issue in New Hampshire. And for a long time, she's right. It's been said only retired people or wealthy people can run. Clearly, that doesn't fit anybody in this group today. But go ahead, Representative Chrétien, your thoughts there.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm actually co-sponsoring a bill to sort of examine ways that we could make the legislative burden a little bit different, whether it's increasing the pay or exploring some use of perhaps technology to make committee work more accessible, things that you could do, via video from home, something like that. And hopefully actually make the legislature not only more accessible to serve in, but actually, easier for people from the North Country or further away from Concord to see and to participate in as I don't know what you would say if you were coming to speak in front of the committee.
Well, I'd like to hear from everybody on this because it is a really key issue that Barbara raises. And for a long time, people have made this complaint that, the money and time barrier makes the legislature not that representative of the state. So, Representative Acton, how about you next? Go ahead.
Well, as a technology guy, I've worked remotely for years. I just recently worked for a company in Connecticut, and I showed up there probably five times. So I know that remote technology can work, but how does that apply to the state house? And I know there's a big demand for it. I think in this election, a lot of people ran and kind of worried about the time commitment secondarily. There's a lot of recruiting going on saying, oh, it's not that big a deal. You got to be there on Thursdays and so forth. Now the reality is starting to kick in, and a lot of representatives are now like, whoa, what am I going to do here if I'm going to be here solid 3 days a week? So I think technology can solve some of those problems. It's going to take a while to develop, But it is a major issue that's going to play out in this session.
Well, it's interesting. So when you were running, people said, oh, you know, Dennis, don't worry about it. It's just once a week. But then you got to orientation day and they said, well, it's a little more than
once a
week. Yeah,
they let us know immediately at orientation, like, hey, you should have known when you got into this. This is 3 days a week. It's a lot of time. You got to be here. The sessions run late. And that we're going to be looking for that.
Wow. So Representative Alexander, a little while ago, I asked you about orientation day. And your answer demonstrated what we're talking about right now, which is you said, well, I had class. I couldn't go. So what about that? Changing the way the legislature is structured or paid to open it up to, you know, ordinary everyday folk?
Well, I think harnessing the power of technology, I think, is important. And I think it's a great idea to explore that opportunity. I mean, I'm a full-time bartender. I'm a student, and my schedule's flexible in a sense, but it does make it hard, you know, being 24 and a graduate student. But I just think, like, Barbara's question is great because I think, you know, Barbara's from Goffstown. Like, we're leading the way in our diversity. We have a great, diverse group of state reps representing the town. So I'm very happy to work with those people. So I would actually be, you know, in favor of, you know, Representative Chretien's legislation exploring, like, technology and you know, committee work and things like that.
And paying people a little bit or not?
I think that's something worth exploring. I don't know if the taxpayers are willing to do that. I know I don't know if I'm willing to do that, but yeah. I think exploring that opportunity is important.
How about you, Representative Bunker?
Paying us enough to really make a difference so you could think of it as your other part-time job, that times 400, that's a chunk of change. So I don't know about that. I do want to say that I like that we have a 400-member legislature and that I was able to run for office without hiring a staff or raising an enormous amount of money or buying media or anything like that. So I do love that there are I mean, it's unwieldy, and I imagine it must be like herding cats sometimes for the professional staff there. But I think it's cool that we're so close to a volunteer citizen legislature. And yeah, there's real problems. And if you have a full-time job and a family, it's hard to figure out how you're going to fit this in, even if you feel compelled to serve. But on the other hand, yeah, it's a puzzle. It's a Gordian knot.
Barbara, thank you for raising the point. Here's a note from Ginger in Pembroke. She says, I actually went to college with Representative Alexander, and despite our differing political views, we've always had constructive, important political conversations. Ginger says, as a young person, I've seen the national political discussion become polarized to a point that it breeds animosity and inaction. Ginger says, I think the New Hampshire legislature has a reputation for bipartisanship and camaraderie. I'm wondering how Representative Alexander and the other freshman representatives are going to continue that tradition and reach across the aisle as the new generation of Republican representatives. And she says also, congrats, Joe. So I'll throw that to you, Representative Alexander.
Well, thank you, Ginger, for that question. Hi, Ginger. Reach out when you can. I think, as Ginger said, like, the legislature is all about relationship building. And I think, like, if you can have a one-on-one conversation, you know, with 399 other people, you'll realize eventually that your differences aren't too much apart. So I know the three of the people in the studio with me right now, I know when I see them on the House floor, it's going to be a friendly hi and, you know, give me a call if you need anything kind of thing. So I think that relationships are important and being a good person is important. And I think if you can build great relationships with people, you can make it work.
All right, Ginger, thank you for the email. You can send us an email like she did. It's exchange@nhpr.org. Your questions for these new lawmakers, any little bits of advice that you want to give them as they get ready to start their statehouse careers, all are welcome. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter. It's NHPR Exchange. More with our panel of freshman state lawmakers in just a moment. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on our show, a Christmas story that starts in New Hampshire and extends worldwide. We'll find out more Wednesday on The Exchange. This hour, four new state representatives join us with their freshman perspective on the State House, what motivated them to get involved, what their impressions are so far, and their thoughts on how to make the legislature more available to people who can't live on a salary of $100 a year. Let's hear from you, too. Your comments, questions, tidbits of advice for these new lawmakers, if you'd like. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Our representatives are Lisa Bunker, a Democrat from Exeter, Dennis Acton, a Republican from Fremont, Jackie Chrétien, a Democrat from Manchester, and Joe Alexander, a Republican from Goffstown. And one more time, that number, 1-800-892-6477. Susan sent us an email. She says, I'm hearing discussion that speaks to diversity of income, sex, and age, but not a mention of the lack of people of color in the state as a whole. I think the governor recently set a task force to look at this and received quite a bit of negative feedback. What do these young people think about that? Susan, thank you so much. And I think I'll turn to you, Representative Bunker, but anybody else can jump in as well. Efforts to talk about diversity, diversifying the workforce, did run into some ugly pushback, especially on social media.
Yes, especially on social media. That's hardly surprising, that hyper-reactive space where people seem free to just indulge their worst impulses, we could say. Mm-hmm. New Hampshire is not an incredibly diverse state. We are one of the whiter states of the union with reference to race. There are some darker faces amongst the freshman class, which is lovely to see. I love that an immigrant, Representative Wazir, I think her name is, got elected in Manchester. Yes?
No, not Manchester. Concord.
Concord?
Yes, it was Concord. In the Heights, to represent the Heights neighborhood of Concord.
399 people to get to know. It's a little daunting. So I think the incoming freshman class represents more diversity than perhaps has been seen in a while, and I love that. Way more women, more people of color, more LGBTQ people, lots of younger people, lots of people in their 20s, 30s, 40s. And during orientation, it looked a lot like a street in Exeter. It was kind of nice. There were people of all different ages and walks of life.
Well, and I think you're the youngest one here, Representative Alexander. And as I said in the opening, the youngest Republican legislator, the only openly gay Republican serving at the State House. Have you gotten any sort of unwelcome pushback on that?
No, I feel like I've been very welcomed by my party. I think it's important that we have diversity in both parties. And I think, each party is taking a step in that direction. I think at the end of the day, as a Republican, as long as you support low taxes, support, low spending, individual liberty, freedoms, I think, jump on board, come on in. So.
Well, and speaking to that diversity, the state Senate does have its first African-American state senator, Melanie Levesque. And then we heard earlier from Manny Espitia, thank you. And he sent us a tweet about his immigrant background. He's from Nashua. So that answers your question a bit, Susan. Thank you very much for sending us that note. Michael also sent us an email. He says he wants to talk about representatives and bills. What do the representatives think of the number of bills sponsored in the New Hampshire House? I believe the number was over 300 last year. Does this number seem excessive? This is a great question, Michael, and one that comes up a lot. And I think it's way more than 300, actually, at least when you start about all those legislative service requests being filed, LSRs. I think typically it's more like 800 to 1,000. Do you want to jump in, Representative Chrétien, on that, the number of bills, and is it excessive?
Sure. Well, it's certainly overwhelming as a new representative, and especially because we actually do hear all the bills, at least in committee. That was something that I learned a lot about during orientation, was the way that we handle those. A lot of them end up on the consent calendar. So taking the recommendation of the committee just to pass or acts or refer to further study. So we do have some mechanisms in there. But I guess with 400 legislators, everyone with kind of their own priorities and own desires to sponsor things, you do just end up with a lot of bills.
400 lawmakers means lots of bills. Representative Acton, what did longtimers, maybe Representative Itza, who you replaced, tell you about just wading through all the legislation?
Well, one of the things is that not all the bills that are coming up are huge. A lot of them are just simple one or two statement changes to the RSAs to either address unintended consequences of previous legislation or to just make small changes. There's far fewer actual sweeping pieces of legislation that are going to take a ton of work and so forth. But that's something that we need to wade through. So I think once you narrow it down to the large legislation, it's going to take a long time. It does bring that number down to a more manageable level. But, you know, Dan Itza was always a source of information. I would run into him in Walmart or in Market Basket, and in 10 minutes I'd walk away a smarter person just by the advice he would give me. It was really excellent.
Right. Oh, that's great. Well, it's a great question, Michael. Thank you very much. And let's go back to the phones. Don's calling from Concord. Hi, Don. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. So I used to be a legislator a while back, and I was sometimes frustrated with the speed with which things moved through such a large body. And I learned to relax when I realized that our state government was set up by people that were suspicious of government. And so in some ways, it's kind of cumbersome by design, so that things can't get done, you know, kind of on a whim. I guess that would be some advice I would have for newbies is to not let yourself get frustrated that it is by design something that is supposed to be fairly deliberative.
Oh, Don, that's great. Thank you so much. What do you think, Representative Alexander? You're a student of how government works. It's frustrating when you get in and you want to do all these things, but it's, as Don said, designed to be methodical.
Well, government is like a bunch of building blocks together. So, you know, you take one away, like you need to, you know, it's like a building. You have to make sure it, you know, stays up straight. The speed of legislation, I mean, the fact that it is so deliberative is the important part, is that we're not just passing bills just to pass bills. Like, you know, we have a public hearing on every single bill. We have an executive session on every single bill. So a lot of the work we're going to do isn't on the House floor. By the time we get to the House floor, you know, the fate of the bill is a lot of times determined. So the committee work is the most crucial in making sure that you show up to the committee and you hear people advocate for or against bills. That's the important part.
Although the interesting thing for me about New Hampshire is sometimes the full House will overturn what the committee says. You know, the committee will vote, you know, unanimously against something, but the rest of the House can say, and I've seen it happen, "Nah, we don't agree with you," even though you spent 3 months looking at the issue. So it's funny that way, isn't it?
It has happened, and I've heard stories of it happening. So,
anybody else want to jump in on that point?
It's very important to pay attention. A bill could be to get rid of a rule that exists already, and then the committee might rule inexpedient to legislate. And so if you are in favor of the rule, you need to say no to the inexpedient to legislate, which is what the House actually votes on. There's a lot of sort of double and triple negatives.
Yes,
and it's
that's
important
right.
to pay close attention. What are we actually voting on right now is a key question.
That is a really good point. And there's a lot of sort of old parliamentary language involved in what the House does. And the exchange team sometimes will look at what happens and goes, okay, wait, does that mean they voted in favor or against? Because sometimes it is confusing. Don, I love your point. Thank you so much for calling. Representative Deborah Altshuler sent you guys a note on Twitter. She says, "Welcome to the New Hampshire House of Representatives." Deborah says, "I ran to bring Stratum's concerns to Concord, keeping our public money in our public schools, protecting reproductive health care, serious gun violence prevention, and no downshifting of state responsibilities to local taxpayers." And so that's a nice welcome from a longtime state rep for all of you. Theo also sent you a note on Twitter. He says, "I love listening to my state rep, Jackie Chrétien, on the exchange. My wife and I are so thrilled to have representatives in Concord that understand firsthand the challenges young people face in New Hampshire. So, Theo, thank you for that. You can also send us a note by email, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter like Deborah and Theo did. It's NHPR Exchange. Or you can give us a call. It's 1-800-892-6477. You know, Representative Acton said a moment ago how helpful Representative Itza was, who stepped down in his position that Representative Acton filled. Did you, Representative Krachan, have political mentors, people who said, you can do this, Jackie, and here's how you get it done?
Yeah, the one who actually comes to mind is Representative Mary Heath, who's another one from Manchester. So we have a connection in that her daughter teaches at Central with my husband. And so when I was initially thinking of pursuing this craziness, my husband said, well, you should go talk to Representative Heath and she can tell you what it's really like. And yeah, she was immediately very much like, oh, yeah, you can absolutely do this. You'll have so much help, and just very, very supportive and wonderful. And I feel very lucky, actually, that Manchester has such a big delegation, a very strong, you know, Manchester Democratic Party offering support. So I've had lots of people, both experienced and kind of experienced in the background, who've been willing to help every step of the way. So,
what about you, Representative Bunker? Were there people who inspired you or helped you to get involved in this?
Many. A key one was Representative Skip Berrien, who is also from Exeter and has served a couple terms already in the House. And I go to church with him, so he was one of my very first conversations once I sort of really came to the decision to seek office.
What was that conversation?
He had already approached me, actually, and saying, are you interested in possibly doing this? And I held off. There's another part to this, which is between 2016 and 2017, I was concerned about what was going on nationally, and I was thinking I need to do whatever I can. But I held off from running because as an out transgender person, I just sort of assumed that I couldn't get elected. I self-selected out of running for office. In 2017, Danica Rome, a transgender woman, won election to the Virginia Assembly, and I was electrified by that because I saw that it was possible. And it was then that I went back to Skip and said, I've sort of seen that I could actually do this. And then, as Representative Krachan just said, there's both in Exeter Town and in Rockingham County, there are active and involved Democratic organizations, and I had many, many conversations with local leaders, with current and former representatives, and everybody said, you could totally do this. And so it was wonderful support and confidence building in those early days to talk to those people.
What about you, Representative Alexander? Were there certain people, mentors, professors, current politicians who said, go for it, Joe?
Well, I met Representative Barbara Griffin at a fundraiser a couple years ago, Republican Party fundraiser, and we talked briefly, and then I talked to her in April and May, and I asked her, like, what she thought of me running, and she's like, absolutely, like, we need young, like, Republicans representing in the House. So we actually went and filed together for office, and she's kind of been a mentor for me since. Also, when I was an intern in the House Majority Office, I was an intern under Speaker Jasper and Majority Leader Hinch, and they were both very helpful as well, just kind of understanding, like, how the House functions.
Oh, yeah. If you need to learn how the House functions, those are good teachers. Tom sent us a note on Facebook. Tom says, legislators who work for a living, like many of our newcomers, can often only commit to a few days per week. Since the legislature only pays $100 a year, time away from work costs them money. Tom says, when some influential committees like finance and education meet more than that, 2 to 3 days a week on top of session day, do you think this is a structural barrier to young people serving on them? So we talked earlier about trying to find time, and Representative Acton, you said at first you thought it would just be one day a week, then people said, no, it's a little bit more than that. What about those all-important committees? You're passionate about keeping taxes low. Will you have the time to do your regular lawmaker duties and also maybe serve on some of those committees that deal with those issues?
Yes, I will have the time because I made a lot of changes to my schedule, and I'm very blessed to have a wonderful wife who's doing she was very successful as a home care physical therapist, and we cut our expenses. We've cut back on our lifestyle and so forth so that I can work less hours and be there. So I plan to be there. I have all the time that is needed to be a member of a committee and also to be there on session day. So I'm lucky in that sense. It is a sacrifice, and you have to make that sacrifice. I'm working on weekends. I'm doing freelance jobs at night and so forth. So I've made that adjustment. So young people can do this, but you have to plan ahead, and you have to start working your way into a freelance lifestyle that allows you to work when you can and still make money. And it helps to have a breadwinner who is not you for the family.
To put it bluntly.
Yes.
Well, but that's impressive. And the word sacrifice really applies there. I mean, you have cut back on your income. You are working at inconvenient times, you know, nights and weekends, just so you can do that. That's kind of impressive.
Yeah, it's the least I can do. It's an honor to do this. And if I have to work on Saturdays, no big deal. It's nice to be able to make money on the side and consider being a state rep my full-time job.
Wow. How about you, Representative Chrétien?
I was going to say, I sort of have a similar situation, well, where I'm able to have a flexible schedule, but I do acknowledge it's a huge privilege that not everyone has. Not everyone can just shuffle their schedules around. But yeah, certainly during orientation, it kind of became apparent there's almost like a two-tier legislature. There's the people who are able to be there full time and can really commit and be on those heavier lift committees. And then there are people like me where, an extra day in committee is pretty much all I can realistically commit and do well. You know, I don't want to stretch myself too thin. So, hopefully the smaller committees do important work as well, be able to have an impact that way. But yeah, certainly it is a barrier to fully committing to the legislature.
Well, and Tom, I appreciate the point. Absenteeism is a big problem at the New Hampshire House with 400 people. And there have been various studies of, people missing really important votes. So to your point, you don't want to overextend yourself and, say you can do more than you really can. To you, I think, Representative Alexander and Representative Bunker, real quick, what advice would you give somebody listening right now thinking, oh, this is interesting, maybe I'll do it in 2020? What would you say to that person?
I would just say go for it because, the worst you're going to do is fail and you can just try again. So, it's the legislature. Like, it's an animal, but it's going to be a really fun experience. So,
how about you, Representative Bunker?
Totally second that. And I would say don't let anybody tell you can't. I did that. I told myself I couldn't. Don't tell yourself you can't. Don't let anybody else tell you can't. You totally can. You can do it too.
Well, as the legislative session kicks off in January, I hope we see you again. This has been really great. Good luck to all of you. Congratulations on your very first win. And Representative Bunker, it was good to meet you.
Yeah, same here.
That's Lisa Bunker, Democrat from Exeter. And Representative Acton, thank you also for your time.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Dennis Acton. He's a Republican state rep from Fremont. Representative Chrétien, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Jackie Chrétien. She's a Democrat from Manchester. And Representative Alexander, thank you also.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
It's Joe Alexander. He's a Republican from Goffstown. You're listening to The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. Hey, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Please give us a review on iTunes to help other listeners find us. And thanks.